Welcome to Toadstools and Garlic Cloves. I am your host, Dorothy, joined monthly by my co-host, Samantha, and I invite you to join us as we hunt down cryptids, explore the paranormal, and dive into lore from around the globe. So sit back and relax as I lead you on a weekly adventure of this strange and creepy world that we call home. And we are recording! So, about 10 minutes before this, I was actually recording and going through my notes, and it wasn't working. Like, the words were not coming out of my mouth. There was weird stuff happening. I don't know what was going on, so I was like, we have to just scrap that 10 minutes because, honestly, at least six of it was me going, I don't know, and doing weird stuff. But what I want to say is, first off, welcome to Toadstools and Garlic Cloves. I do believe we are on episode 5. Hope you enjoyed the last episode of Nova Scotia. I know it was a little short, but it happens. So hopefully I will make up with it with Scotland, because that is where we are today. We are in Scotland. But before I get into that, I want to say that I was messing around on the podcast host site that I use. And I found transitions, which is free music and sound effects. So I have that now, and you're going to be hearing them. But I'm not going to do it the normal way. I'm just going to play it from my computer and hope the microphone picks it up. Oh, let's see. What ones do we have? We have... That wasn't the one that... Also, like, so they have the names of it, but you don't know if it's actually... Like, you have the picture of, like, an idea of what it is by the name, but then it sounds completely different. So this one says monster. I've never clicked on it. I want to see what it is. That wasn't exciting. I'm so sorry. Okay, so this one says Jupiter. That was fun. This says Isabel. I have no idea why that's named that. Oh, this is the one I really like. It's called Heist. And that would be the most fun heist ever. Okay. But the one that really got me, and I'm already laughing. Just be prepared to hear this all the time.
Yay!
Oh my goodness. Okay. We need to get on to the podcast. Episode Scotland Yard. I don't know. Oh wow. I just lost everyone. Scotland. So where in the world are we today? We are in Scotland. I said I was going to do Nessie. I did not. And here's the deal. I looked up some things and I really wanted to find a Ghost Adventures episode, which I did, and that was fun, and they did it on the Edinburgh Vaults. I didn't realize how big the Edinburgh Vaults are, and I think I wrote about, like, 15, no, wait, how many words? 1,500 words of notes on it. Alone. And when I was watching the Ghost Adventures for the Edinburgh Vaults, they found the Greyfriar Cemetery, which meant I had to do that also, and I just figured it'd be way too much stuff happening to include Nessie. So, not sure if it's gonna be next week or the week after. I will go ahead and actually do an episode all about lake monsters. So Nessie will be involved. And so will Champ for Vermont. and a few others that I need to look up and discover. But if you came and you were just like, yay, Scotland, Nessie, I'm sorry. You are now going to be saying, yay, Scotland, Edinburgh Vaults. Okay, so, what are the Edinburgh Vaults? Well, my first note says Edinburgh Vaults, aka Southbridge Vaults. And that's the end of the podcast. I'm just kidding. The Southbridge Vaults is a bridge. Okay, so Southbridge was Edinburgh's first shopping street built with a purpose. And I looked it up. It looks really cool. I don't know why we don't do these more often and why we don't have them everywhere, because it's really cool. So it's this bridge. And there are, like, sections along the sides made specifically for shopping. And it was a 19-arch viaduct, which is, a viaduct is a long bridge-like structure with a series of arches, typically, that carries a road or railway across a valley or other low grounds. So today, there is only one arch visible, and the hidden arches actually had extra floors, and there are about 120 rooms / vaults below South Bridge, and it opened for business in 1788, but the construction was rushed, and the surface was not sealed for water, so the condition started to deteriorate, and the vaults began to flood. When it opened in 1788, for 30 years, it was used to house travelers. No. I misspelled that. It was used for house taverns. So there was house taverns, not housing travelers. And workshops for tradesmen. And then there were storage places underneath for the merchants. So in later years, when they moved out, most likely because of the deterioration of the conditions. I mean, you don't want to be in a place with mold and flooding. Abandonment started in around the 1795 time frame. And then the homeless population moved in. Slum dwellers came in, and they basically started a red light district. The vaults were basically served as slum housing. The living conditions were horrible. There was no sanitation, no running water, no sunlight, and it was very poorly ventilated. So we had the poor there. We had criminal activity, gambling dens, illegal distilleries, and body snatchers. So I didn't write down the actual definition of a body snatcher, but it's kind of basically people would wait and either loot graveyards or find dead bodies, and you would be able to sell them the corpses to the medical school and get some in return. Most body snatchers weren't actual murderers, but some were. There is also a rumor that the serial killers Burke and Hare used the Edinburgh vaults, but there is no actual evidence. Okay, so the conditions in the vaults deteriorated more so, and then one point in time, because there was varying dates on when the vaults were actually shut down, maybe between 1835 to 1875, because there was no real actual written record of the peoples that lived in the slums. But at one point, a ton of rubble was dumped onto the vaults, and it basically shut them down. The vaults were rediscovered in the 1980s, and then they were excavated in the 1990s. But before they were shut down, I mentioned Burke and Hare, which were serial killers, and they attributed 16 killings to them within 10 months in 1828. And what they did was that they sold the corpses to the medical school. So this first started out after a lodger in one of their houses died. And they're like, well, what do we do? Called a friend, and they said, hey, we have a dead person. What do we do? And then Burke and Hare were like, let's sell them. So they sold him to the medical school, and they got a really good sum for it. They got, like, I think it was, like, 7 pounds or something like that, and definitely during that age, that's pretty good. So they're just like, hey, we can keep doing this. So then they killed a woman who had a fever, and the reasoning behind that is that they said they were worried the lodgers wouldn't come and stay with them if they knew that a woman with a fever is here. I'm guessing this was probably during a time, I didn't look up the 1828s in Scotland to see if there was like a plague happening or an outbreak or something, but it was 1828, so I'm assuming something was happening somewhere. And they killed her because they were just worried that the lodgers wouldn't come and lodge at their house if they knew a woman had a fever. So instead they killed her. And then so forth and so forth. So what they did was they suffocated their victims, and in doing so they would wait usually at nightfall and then go to the medical school, and the professionals at the medical school that were buying the bodies were just commenting on how fresh they were. And I don't know if it's like, when, like, at what point in time when there's like a super fresh body that you're delivering to someone that you're just like, where did you get this body? But yeah, that was a thing they never asked, because they knew they were most likely body snatchers selling, but they were underfunded in the need of having bodies. So, body snatchers. And that's where the rumors that they used the vaults to hide the bodies until nightfall came into play, but there was no actual evidence of that. So, let's see. Vaults were rediscovered in the 1980s, and they were excavated in the 1990s, and they found a shit ton of oyster shells, which was a staple diet of the working class. And they also found middens, tons and tons of middens. So they rediscovered that people were living down there. I say rediscovered because people knew in the 1860s people were living down there. It's just that there was no written record, because that is the tendency. That just happens. No one really writes about the normal that's happening every day. And I said that middens were found. So middens are ancient trash heaps. And so in archaeology, which is my degree, yay, middens are freaking amazing. That's what we dig for a lot. Are middens, so the ancient trash heaps, because you can find out so much about people, like the normal people, and the regular town folk, and in archaeology, what most people that don't understand archaeology or see the archaeology and the news and TV and the shows, basically, what they report about is the sexy archaeology. By sexy archaeology, it's the thing that hooks you. It's like the thing that's like, oh my goodness, this huge temple has been refound after hundreds of years being lost. Yeah, that's archaeology. It's the sexy archaeology. But we don't go out like every day finding temples. What we go out every day to do is find middens and understand how the 90% of people lived, not that 10% where they had fancy jewelry and temples and big houses lived. I don't know how to get off that tangent, so we're just going to continue on then. Oh, hang on. Oh, I have a noise for it. Yep, that's the noise. Oh wait, no, where's the other noise?
Yay!
Okay. And now, we're back to the vaults. So, what the vaults are used for now, on the north side of South Bridge, it's mainly used for ghost tours. And the vaults on the south side of the South Bridge are used for venues called the Caves or the Rowan Tree. And I'm guessing they use that name because the Rowan Tree was a favorite tree in Scotland and Celtic folklore and offers protection. And it was once forbidden to chop them down because of bad luck. I don't know why I just went on that tangent either. Basically, those venues host private shindigs, weddings, private dining, live music, etc., etc. And then, as of 2015, the whole area is basically closed to the public and strictly monitored. So you either have to be on a ghost tour or in one of those venues. Let's see. So I'm on YouTube. Oh, and by the way, all my references are, like, wiki. So I went on YouTube, and I found part 5 and 6 of I Believe in Ghosts by Joe Swash. And it was fun to watch, because he really didn't want to stay the night in the vaults. And he only actually, I think he only lasted 4 hours. And what they do in Ghost Adventures is that they talk to the tour guides, they talk to the people that live there in that area. And the tour guide was like talking about how children chimney sweeps would get stuck up in the vault area. And the people who hired him, or them, basically, you know, they'd pay a penny, go clean out the chimney sweeps, chimneys, and they could either pay another penny to send another kid up to push the other kid out, or they would just basically kill the kid and by setting a fire and basically smoking him to death. So that was a thing that happened, that instead of paying another penny. That was kind of a downer. I'm so sorry, and I'm not sorry at the same time. But there was also a really big fire in Edinburgh. And when there's a huge fire, people tend to take cover, and they took cover in the vaults. And because the vaults are stone and the stone conducts heat, it basically turned into a very big oven. And in that area, you will see, I don't remember if they said that you could either hear voices, or because a lot of people died in that area, you just like, you can hear them or you see like ghosts. In that area. I didn't get the place where he slept, or which vault he slept in. I think he slept in White Room, though. You know, he was, like, there, he was, like, getting audio for it, he was being all freaked out, and basically what you were hearing was, like, pounding and footsteps and voices, and they were doing the times, and there was a club nearby, and he was just assuming it was the club. But the club is shut down 20 minutes before. And then he hears something, so he starts yelling hello. Because that's what you do, apparently, when you are alone in haunted vaults. You just say, hello, is anyone there? Yeah, I would not be doing that. I'd be huddled in a corner being like, I'm not here. And then I'd pull a, M from, and that's why we drink, and say, no, thank you. but basically they get the audio person comes, and takes Joe into the studio and lets him hear the audio and what sounds like voices for about 15 minutes. And you can hear the voice over the club music that they're assuming. And the fact is that the club music has to be so loud to even hear it down in the vaults, that to hear a voice over top of that music is just basically impossible, unless, of course, the voice was in the vaults with him. And then there was about 15 or 20 minutes of hearing a voice and then a child talking afterwards. And it was really creepy. Getting into Ghost Adventures. So I watched this first without looking into the Edinburgh, it says Edinburgh Castle, but it's Edinburgh Vaults. I was like, I don't understand. And then I did. But it was pretty cool. So it is one of the most haunted locations in the world. I don't know why I didn't lead with that. And it has close proximity to the graveyards and the medical school, which was convenient for body snatchers. Of course, they were talking to the people, they were talking to the tour guides. The tour guides dress up in old Victorian clothing, and that's really cool. So they are looking the part. But they kept on talking about a little boy that was named Jack, who's super nice when people are on tours, and he tries to hold people's hands, which is cool. Just sad that there's a little boy down there. He also tugs on coats. Sometimes he throws stones. But there's a super evil spirit that's down there also, and it's a tall man in a big blue overcoat, big black boots, and they just assume that he was a slum landlord that lived in the vaults around the 19th century, and he doesn't like people being in the vaults or his room in the vaults, and he yells, "Get out!" So the tour guide was telling the story, and, like, Zach was just, like, kind of, like, you know, close, listening, like, intently, and the tour guide was like, he just yells, get out, and then she just yelled, get out, and Zach wasn't expecting it, and he jumps and almost falls over in surprise, because she yelled it in his face, and it was hilarious. He was like, oh my god, but that was really funny. And also, the evil spirit will push people, and the tour guides have nicknamed him Mr. Boots, which maybe that's why he's angry, because now he's called Mr. Boots. But, so, Ghost Adventures. Zach is talking about how they're going to be locked in the underground vaults, and many people that he was talking to will say that the bridge is actually cursed along with the vaults, because a week before the unveiling of the bridge, one of the lady that was supposed to christen the bridge, I never looked that up because I made it a question mark to look that up, and I didn't, so I don't know what it means to christen the bridge, but all I know is that you don't get out of it by dying, because that is what the lady did. So what the townspeople did is that because she died a few days before she was supposed to christen the bridge, they put her dead body in a casket and then pushed the casket off the side of the bridge. Because apparently that's what you do in the freaking 1700s. So you just push people off the bridges in caskets. But they say that led to the bridge being cursed with black market cereals and serial killers and diseases. That, or it was just the times, you know. But they met with Des Brogan, and he was the person that took responsibility to go down to the vaults and do research when they were rediscovered in the 1990s. And Des actually takes them down to the vaults to show them around before they get locked in there. This is something that happens in these not ghost adventures specifically, but in all TV show or thing like that where people are looking for ghosts or the paranormal. It just seems that the second someone says that this is the most unpleasant room, then the person that's like, oh, looking for the paranormal, or is like, I feel something. So that's basically what happened. Des said, took Zach to one of the vault rooms, and he was perfectly fine until Des said that this was the most unpleasant room in the vaults, and then Zach was immediately like, I feel a bad energy. And I have a bad feeling. And then at that point, Des says that this is Mr. Boots' room. And that when they were doing research down there and excavating, basically, the vaults, they had found a body of a young girl in that room. And they assumed that that young girl was a prostitute that Mr. Boots murdered. Okay, so here's the deal with that. It's not that I have a problem with it. It's just that they just assumed this. I mean, what if Mr. Boots wasn't a slumlord? What if he was just some poor guy who was actually pretty nice and was just living down there because of circumstances? And what if the girl in the room that they found wasn't a prostitute? What if it was just some random lady? What if it was Mr. Boots' wife? Okay, I tried looking this dude up and I couldn't find him. So they were just, like, making assumptions over here. But they assume that Mr. Boots had murdered a prostitute and put it in the room. And maybe that's why he's angry. Because, first of all, people are coming in, going into your room, and messing shit up. And then they call you a silly name. And then they say that you were a slumlord that killed a prostitute. I mean, come on! I would be all angry too. And then this Joker comes in with the Ghost Adventures and lets Mr. Boots know that him and his crew is going to be locked down there in the vaults all night, and then tells Mr. Boots that if he wants, like, Zach basically says, Mr. Boots, if you want me to leave, you have to do something about it. Yeah. I'd be a little bit pissed off too. But so basically, Zach challenges Mr. Boots, and the cameraman said that he saw something walk by and make an aw sound, at which point Dez said that Zach had just challenged Mr. Boots. And then he was like, wait, what? Okay. I don't know. But then they keep on walking, and they go into a double vault. And Dez talks about a child whose name is Jack that holds people's hands. There is also a ghost dog down there that will brush by people. And then they went into a cobbler's room. And when you're on tours, people have, if they're on the cobbler rooms or the side of the cobbler in that room, they see a smiling face, but if you're on the other side of that room, there is a woman that will push you, and she doesn't like pregnant women, and she will push pregnant women, she'll make them feel super uncomfortable, at which point Zach says he loves this place. And then the candle that he was holding does some weird glow thing, and it does something weird to the camera, and makes Zach look funny. And then the camera starts malfunctioning and turns off, then back on, and then off again, I guess. But also the reason why that they have candles is that Mr. Boots doesn't like light being shined in his face, which, really, no one does. So they just antagonize Mr. Boots because he, like, at one point scratched someone or told someone to get out and yelled it. So they just decided that he is, like, an evil spirit because he yells get out to the people on tours to get out of his room. Like, I feel for Mr. Boots. I mean, they gave him a weird name, they accuse him of murder, and then they say he's evil because he yells get out when people come into his room. I mean, what the heck do people think is going to happen? Then they leave because it's not nightfall yet. And he continues talking to people. And people are like, yeah, there's a ghost here that has no head. Some of the ghost grabs you. And then one lady, very, very seriously, mind you, like very seriously, says that Zach should walk around above ground first before going below. Because I don't know why. Basically was like, she said, no, you need to walk around up here first in the dark before you go below ground, because I guarantee you, you will not want to go. It was really funny. At which point they take a hiatus to the Greyfriar Cemetery and talk about the Mackenzie Poltergeist. And this is also supposed to be the most haunted cemetery in the world, but I'm going to get into that later. So now, we're back at the vaults. So, the caretaker unlocks the door that they're basically going to... Oh, I'm sorry. Now they're back in the vault. It's about 7:25, or no, 7-ish. And the caretaker, basically, they zoom in on the door that the caretaker is going to be locking, and then the caretaker is going to unlock that door at 6:45 a.m. And they basically say, hey, if we're not at the door at 6:45 a.m., just come on in and try to find us. And the caretaker was just like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. It was really funny because he was just like, nah, nope, nada. So they get everything set up. They go down there and it's around 7:25 p.m. So they're going to be down there for a good 12 hours-ish. And they're already hearing things. They've already psyched each other out. At which point, Zach starts yelling for Mr. Boots to come out and say hello, and straight up says that he's going to challenge him to do something. He's going to shine a light right in his face. And then he goes in the room and starts yelling at Mr. Boots. And then, so Mr. Boots does some shit. So the cameraman starts freaking out because something brushed against his hair and his ear, like fingerprints. And then they take out the EMF reader and there was a big burst of energy. The base reading was at 2. The cameraman starts complaining about his head hurting and like his neck is burning. And Zach asks if Mr. Boots is there with them, and then the camera picks up an orb disappearing into Mr. Boots' room, and the EMF reader starts going all haywire, and it goes to an 8, and then a 10, then to a 20, and then the cameraman's like, something's grabbing my arm, and yeah, it was like a big freak out. So Mr. Boots came out and said hello. What more do you want, Zach? Okay. And then we, this is definitely going to be a longer one. I'm sorry. No, what? No, fuck. Oh, shit. So many bad words. Then it's midnight. So Zach decides to stay in Mr. Boots' room in the vault by himself. And he already has a horrible feeling about this. Yes. You shouldn't do that. Stop antagonizing Mr. Boots. He just wants to be there in peace. And the two cameramen go to explore elsewhere, talking about how crazy Zach is for calling out Mr. Boots, and then they hear dragging some noises. And then it goes back to Zach, who is like, it's so cold in here, and sits in the spot where the lady was killed. And then he has an anxiety attack, of course, saying that there's evil energy, and then yells at Mr. Boots that he wants to see his ugly face and that he will not leave, and tell me why you do not like me. Tell me why you don't like me right into this microphone. Well, maybe, Zach, maybe he doesn't like you because you just called him ugly and then yelled about shining a light in his face and accused him of killing some lady and is now sitting in the spot where she is dead. Maybe that's why he doesn't like you. Or anyone, as, like, a matter. Like, you're in his room, invading his space. Then he hears scratching on the wall next to him and flips the F out. And it's hilarious. And it gets freezing cold in the spot that he's at. So, of course, he antagonizes Mr. Boots some more. He's standing up and he's like, oh my god, there's someone behind me. I'm pretty sure, like, he's like, there's someone behind me in the vault. It was like his shadow. His shadow was behind him. But then he starts calling out for Nick and Eric, which are his cameramen. And Zach says he feels weird, so he flashes more lights into Mr. Boots' room. And then you hear a lot of scratching and dragging noises and footsteps. And that actually happens before Zach starts shining the light. So Mr. Boots is definitely pissed off. And then that scratching and dragging noises and footsteps actually go on for more than 6 minutes. And they're, like, being really quiet on the camera, and of course it's all this green light because it's night vision stuff. And they're just standing there, still, not talking, but Zach has this, like, face. like he's like, it's like Home Alone face, but without the hands on your cheeks. Like, the, what is happening face. But it's, like, straight into the camera. Like, close up. And then there's sounds of, like, sawing and dragging. So they follow those sounds into the cobbler's room. And they ask if the cobbler is still making things, but what they hear instead is a woman's voice. And then they leave. And, or no, I'm sorry. That was at 4:50 a.m. that they go into the cobbler's room. But they go to the ladies' side of the room, and basically the cameraman asks that if he was a pregnant woman, would you hate me? And then they got a knock sound. It really sounded like more like something falling, and considering that the vaults are made of stone, I'm pretty sure it was just a stone falling somewhere and just echoing. But then they leave. That's it. The cameraman's like, if I was a pregnant lady, would you hate me? That was it. That's all I asked. And then they went into the white room vault, which I think is the double vault. But they were told that in the white room vault that there's a lot of poltergeist activity. But on the way there, Nick stays behind in the white room vault. The other two, so Eric and Zach, leave. Nick sees if he can get anything on the camera and then freaks out because he hears the ghost dog. So that happens. I'm pretty sure that ghost dog and Jack just run around playing all the time. And that's how I deal with the fact that there's ghost kids and ghost dogs. But while they were doing all of this, of course, they don't show you that they were setting up night cameras and trigger objects. So trigger objects are basically things that would have been either used or been played by, or played with during that time. So a trigger object for Jack was actually a teddy bear, which they set up in the white room. And then they set up some cobbler stuff in the cobbler's room. But what happens is about 30 minutes after setting up that teddy bear in the white room, the EMF reader spikes and the camera audio picks up the voice of, like, a younger kid, and the teddy bear actually moves. And that was kind of creepy, because there was nothing for 30 minutes, and then all of a sudden the teddy bear just, like, slides around the floor, and it's really creepy. So that was the end of Ghost Adventure episode. Oh, shoot, what episode? It was season 1, episode 7. There we go. Then I looked up the Greyfriar Cemetery. So, on Ghost Adventures, this was in the middle of the episode, they find the graveyard, and there's, like, a ton of skull and crossbone carvings. There's, like, babies with their heads chopped off, carved into the, this carvings everywhere. And it's really creepy looking. And one guy they interview said that he was on a tour and a ball of light entered into him, and that there was, like, searing pain that made him collapse, and he was actually rushed out in an ambulance. So Zach is just freaking out all over this cemetery about it being super creepy, and they find the McKenzie tomb, at which point they talk about a homeless guy apparently broke into that tomb and fell down into a pit that was underneath it, into the underground pit, and then when he looked up, there was a black shadow that attacked him. Yeah. Anyone's going to attack you if you break into their tomb. and if they were a spirit. And then I learn a little bit more about Mackenzie, and I'm like, yeah, this dude is not a good dude. So I don't know why Zach doesn't antagonize him. Like, Mackenzie was a complete a-hole. Probably because he was like, oh, you don't want to antagonize the poltergeist, but I'm going to antagonize Mr. Boots on hearsay. But, okay, so that led me to Wiki and DailyBeast.com and GoNext.com. So, the graveyard is actually called Greyfriars Kirkyard, and the kirkyard is basically a churchyard. The graveyard surrounds Greyfriars Kirk, which is a parish church of Scotland, and it's located on the southern end of Old Town in Edinburgh. And burials started there in the late 16th century, and the graveyard has those vaulted tombs. It's very old, obviously. It looks creepy. And apparently in 1679, after the Battle of Bothwell Bridge, they had a little over 1,200 prisoners that were brought to Edinburgh, and they didn't have enough room for them. So they made a makeshift prison on the graveyard, and that freaking sucks. Because that leads into probably why the graveyard is haunted. So here's the deal. People have a tendency to haunt the place that they die. And that's how we get ghosts. And there's many different types of ghosts. But normally, ghosts will be in the place that they die. So that's why I always had a problem with people saying, no, all graveyards have ghosts. And it's like, no, they don't, because people aren't dying at the graveyard. I mean, some people do, or some people just had the most horrible death ever and followed their body, but most of the time, graveyards aren't haunted. Well, this one is, because George Mackenzie, this Mackenzie dude, who, by the way, is named Bloody Mackenzie, Sir George Mackenzie, was a huge, like, he was known to be one of the bloodiest religious persecutors, and that took place on the church grounds, which took place, obviously, in the graveyard grounds also. So yeah, the place is freaking haunted, because people were dying there. I think almost all but 200 of the prisoners died. Okay, tangent over. So it's said to be one of the most haunted graveyards in the world. This is mostly because of the Mackenzie poltergeist, who is very, very aggressive, and he is very active. And in his life, he was a persecutor of the Scottish Covenanters. Oh, goodness. Well, this was a movement in the 17th century. I can't say that word. I'm so sorry. In 1999, a homeless person broke into the mausoleum, people say that's what triggered Mackenzie to turn into a poltergeist. So a homeless person broke into the mausoleum that housed him. He fell down into a pit that was underneath the mausoleum into a bunch of dead bodies. They said that they might have been plague bodies from a long time before. In 2003, a pair of teenagers broke into the tomb of Mackenzie and looted and vandalized it. And when the police arrived, they found the boys playing kickball with the skull's head. And I was like, yeah, that would probably make someone a little pissed off. But then I learned more about Mackenzie, and I was like, you know what? I'd play kickball with his head, too. Again, said to be one of the most haunted graveyards in the world. In 2006, there had been reports of over 450 documented attacks, 140 collapses, or people collapsing while on tour, and even the possible death of one psychic from the poltergeist. But on a happier note, they say that there is also a ghost dog. And normally I'm just like, no, what did the dog do to become a ghost? But in this case, this ghost dog was a Skye Terrier. And it had stayed and stood watch over its master's grave for 14 plus years. And they call this ghost dog Greyfriars Bobby. And you can hear sounds of barking. Then I looked up some YouTube stuff about the cemetery, and it was really funny. Not a lot happened, but I did watch the YouTube of the most haunted cemetery in the world at night, / Greyfriars Kirkyard, Edinburgh, by Pedro Nascimento. But he basically walks through at night, and nothing happens, but you get a good glimpse of what the graveyard looks like, and it is creepy looking. But then he passes by someone who is like, hello, and they're like out on their morning walk, and he turns around to make sure that they are still there walking and that they weren't a ghost, which I thought was hilarious because I don't know how many times I actually have done that. Just to be like, why are you looking at the person? I just want to make sure they're not a ghost, okay? Yeah, that happened. That's it. That's all I got. There you go. Next week is either going to be Sammy and I's second episode together, or it might be the Lake Monsters one. I'm not sure. So it will be a surprise for both of us. And with that, I bid you adieu and goodbye.